Amen. Thank the Lord tonight for wonderful song service already. Thank God for a great time of prayer. We've had a great evening already. Thank the Lord for His blessings upon us. Tonight, if you would, I'd like you to go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Revelation in chapter 5. Revelation and chapter 5. Tonight, we pray that the Lord will use His Word effectively in the hearts of each and every one of us that have gathered here this evening. We talked a great deal this morning about loyalty. No doubt your minds have pondered that thought today. Am I loyal to God? Am I loyal to His Word? And am I loyal to His house? Loyalty. This very evening, we'll find out exactly why we should have a drive to be loyal to God. We ought to have a drive to be loyal to the Son who gave His life for us. The Bible says, and as we read this, again, I want your mind to be focusing here upon that great, great crowd, that great throng of thousands and thousands times ten thousands and thousands, thousands. The Bible says there's a lot of people gathered around the throne. Right after we have left the Bema Seat of Christ, again, remember last week, we talked about our very first worship hour just past the Bema Seat of Christ. Tonight we're going to look at a second opportunity for God's people, all the redeemed of all time, to worship the Almighty. And it's going to be a marvelous scene, folks, and it's not going to stop there. You're going to see a great deal of worship of God's people around the throne of Almighty. So let's get into this tonight. The Bible says in verse 1, we are looking at a special book here that is about to be brought onto the scene. The book is actually a scroll. Of course, we know that books were, in that day, were always written on parchment paper or whatever, just in a scroll. They were rolled up. And we're going to see the importance of the seven seals and what the seven seals, you know, how the importance is placed upon the seven seals even. Seven seals shows you that it's a great deal of importance. The Bible says in verse 1, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals." That's a very special indication of what we are about to open up here, what we're about to see and deal with. This is not just an average bill of sale or anything like that. This is actual something very special. Normally on a deed or something like that in the Hebrew time, what they would do, they would, of course, write the full detail on the scroll. They would roll that scroll up, and they would, depending on the importance of that one scroll, they would put at least three seals on the scroll. And then, if it was a great deal of importance, they would put more seals than that. And on the outside of the scroll that was sealed, they would write abbreviated detail of what the inside contained. This is what we're looking at here tonight. This scroll that was written on the inside and on the outside. And it being sealed with seven seals is very important. Seven being the number of completeness and perfectness and the number of wholeness, and all these things come into play in this one chapter. Again, in verse 1, the Bible says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on a throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice." Now get a hold of maybe Gabriel or Michael 1. Get a hold of what you see here now. This great angel, he stands forth and he cries with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And John said, as he looked into this vision, John said, "I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, all the congregation of heaven, stood a lamb." Right in the midst, right in the middle, right where all this was going on, right where John was looking out over that great vast crowd of people. As John noticed Moses, he noticed David, he noticed Enoch, the man who was not. He noticed these men who stood and walked with God. He noticed Job standing there. He saw all these great men of old. The Bible says John began to weep. John began to weep, listen, realizing that he wasn't even able to look upon the book or to open it thereof. And the Bible again says in verse 6, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. They sang a new song," amen. "They began to worship him without any problems whatsoever." They didn't have no problem worshiping God there, do they? Today, down here, men have a problem even raising their voice, singing the songs with gusto, so to speak. But up there, there'll be no problem. Says the Bible, they sang a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." And you imagine the great vast crowd of people saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever." Our most gracious and divine Heavenly Father, dear God, tonight as we humbly come before your throne, we come thanking you for the day which you've given us. We thank you, dear God, for the blessed privilege of once again gathering in thy house to worship you in spirit and truth. Father, we know that you're in this place even now. We know that Thy people have gathered here tonight. I've heard it in the prayer room. Dear God, they've gathered here this evening to worship You. We know that You're in our midst when such is going on. So Father, I pray that You receive the songs and the preaching as worship, honor and glory and praise. Father, for Thou art worthy. Lord, we take no glory for ourselves, but we bestow it all upon Thee and upon Thy feet we do lay. Father, we pray that You'll bless us tonight. Cause our hearts to be stirred within us. Move our minds, O God. Help our eyes to see the vision that John saw. And Lord, help us to refrain thoughts of the world outside. But Lord, may we conjure up thoughts of the hereafter. May we even tonight, dear God, in our hearts and minds be worshiping You like no other time. We'll praise You and we ask, dear God, You forgive us our sin. In Christ's name, and amen. Only one was worthy. That is the title to our message tonight. Only one was worthy. Emmanuel, our study tonight deals with the book of seven seals. And as we begin to behold this great study, Revelation 5 is to deliver unto us the scene of the great Son of God as He takes hold of this book. We will view the question as it is heralded throughout the glory of heaven, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? This chapter will show who was worthy. And we will also see the reason for the second act of worship when we enter heaven. So let's set back tonight. Let us position ourselves around the throne of God in heaven. And I want us to notice as the angel asked the all-important question, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Now I want you to notice, as John noticed and he caught it very quickly, there was no one able to stand and say, I'll take the book. There was no man able to stand and say, I'll take the charge. But John recognized this. So first of all, in these first seven verses of Scripture, I want you to notice again with me just what it is that we're about to deal with. The Bible says, and as John saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne, a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, nor under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much. John says as he looked around heaven, John proclaimed that even upon the earth there was no man able to do what was being asked. There was no man able to do what was being asked by the angel. Who is worthy tonight? I spoke in the prayer room and I spoke to the fact that none of us are worthy. None of us were worthy of salvation, but God saved us, didn't He? None of us were worthy of forgiveness, but God forgave us. But as I look at this book and I see the seven sealed book and I look and I notice all the throng in heaven, there was no man who would lift up his hand and say, I'll take the book. No man looked at the Ancient of Days and said, I'll take that charge. There was no man able to probably even lift up his eyes toward God, let alone say, I'll do it. I could just imagine as John and his vision began to look around, as no doubt he looked upon the scene there, and those thousands upon thousands and thousands of thousands. He looked everywhere. He searched high and low, and yet no man was able to rear up his head and raise his hand and say, I think I'm able to do that job. The Bible says here that John began to weep. He began to cry over the fact that no man, those men that he looked up to, Those men that he read of many, many times through the Old Testament scriptures. No doubt he read of Moses, he read of David, he read of all those men as he looked out over that great crowd. He could see those men. But yet none of them were able to raise their hand. David, a man after God's own heart, was not even able to raise his hand and say, "I'll take it." Job was a man who walked with God, and the Bible says that he wasn't even able to take the charge that was being offered by the angel. Can you just imagine as God sat upon the throne, as God in all His glory and majesty held within His hand, He held the book. And the angel looked out over that great crowd and he began to proclaim, "Who is worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof?" Folks, I want you to know tonight that as God's people get a hold of this, we ought to be driven to our knees and pleading God's forgiveness for all of our shortcomings. And folks, there's not a man upon the earth today can say that I'm perfect and I have ability to take the book. All of God's creatures today have been born in sin, and therefore, and we know that we sin every day. John began to weep. Verse 4 says, "And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not. It's not a time to be crying. Listen, there's no crying in heaven. Listen, God wipes away all the tears when we get there. After we leave the Bema Seat of Christ, listen, the tears dry up. Think about it. John in his vision, though, this was his vision, and he began to weep uncontrollably. And the elder said, "Listen, don't cry. There's somebody here who's going to be able to take the charge. There's one here who's going to be able to take and reach forth his hand and take the scroll or take the book." He says he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. He hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. Listen, as God held in His almighty hand the book, again the question was shouted out, "Who is worthy? Who is worthy?" When we're all in heaven, listen, there will be no one lay claim to their own so-called righteousness. We will, for the first time, really grasp the meaning of Isaiah 64. If you'll turn back there with me, we'll understand exactly what I'm about to say here. As you stand and you look at the Ancient of Days and you see what John saw as he sat upon the throne of God and you see him in all his glory and righteousness, you'll see, listen, you'll see just like Isaiah said, "Woe is me." Listen to this now. The Bible says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. There is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities." Folks, I want you to know here tonight, as we think about this time, we understand what John saw in his vision. We understand what John began to look around and look at all those men and all those warriors of faith down from the times of Adam on. And there was not one man he would even able to raise up his eyes. Not one man stood said, "I'll do it." You know, this morning as we brought out that message on loyalty, made me kind of wonder how many of us would have to hang our heads in shame as the angel, if we were the ones standing there looking at this vision, as the angel began to cry out to all who would be able to hear, who is worthy to come and take the book. How many of us, listen, it would be just like it was in the vision. Every last one of us would have to hang our head, because there's none of us worthy. But you know, I will say this. I say we'll be very gracious to lay claim to verse 8 and 9 of Isaiah 64. Where the Bible says here, "But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father, and we are the clay. Thou art the potter, and we all are the work of Thy hand. Be not wroth very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech Thee. We are all Thy people." You know, I would lay claim to that very fast, wouldn't you? Listen, we're not even able to stand in God's sight without the blood of His Son covering us. How much more are we beneath the great God of heaven? Folks, I'll tell you, as we look at this one, as we look at this one who laid out this great vast cry throughout all heaven, and John began to weep uncontrollably because there was not a man who was able. Folks, this morning, that really struck a chord in my heart. As I talked about the loyalty that we ought to be and the loyalty we ought to have, it made me mindful of the fact that, listen, there was times in my life when I was disloyal to God. And even now, at our greatest moments, in our greatest times of life, there's none of us would be able to say, "I'll do it." Think about it now. But I want you to look at this secondly. I want you to look at who was able. In verses 5 through 7 of our text in Revelation chapter 5, notice what it says here. Revelation in chapter 5. Began reading again at verse 5. "And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne." Jesus Christ, my friend, was able. For he earned the right to be that one. Why? Because in the midst of the elders, the precious redeemed of the Lord, stood a lamb as it had been slain, says verse 7. Consider that. Consider what it says, and verse 6, I should say. "There stood a lamb as it had been slain." And again, I have to bring our minds back to this scene where John was in the midst of all this great crowd, and the angel said, "Who is worthy?" And nobody in that great throng of people was able to raise their hand. And then all of a sudden, right in the midst, the Bible says. That means in the midst of the throne and of the elders, all around that great crowd, there stood somebody in the middle who was able. There stood the Lamb of God who had been, as He had been slain. In other words, His visage was as the man who came off the cross. He was Jesus Christ, the crucified Redeemer, and he says, I'll take the book. I'll take it. I've earned that right. Number one, I'm its creator. You see, the book, again, the scroll, is a title deed. It's the title deed to earth. It is God handing over the deed for Jesus Christ to do as He wills. We're going to see in those seven seals, we're going to see as that scroll is unrolled, we're going to see the very wrath of God began to be unfolded upon the earth. But here stood the very Lamb of God, right in the midst of that great crowd of people, as everybody was no doubt looking around, who is going to be able? And no one was able, except for that one who came a-walking. And immediately he was noticed. Immediately one of the elders said, hey, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he has prevailed. He's here to take the book. Weep not, O preacher man, he's saying. He looks at John and said, it's not time to weep now. We've got a Savior. We've got a King. We've got a Messiah. And He's come to take the book. He's come because He was worthy. As I said, He was worthy because of creation. He created the earth. The deed belonged to Him. Amen. Not only did He create the earth and the deed belonged to Him that way, but He redeemed. He died. And He redeemed. He earned it by His redemptive power. So therefore, the earth was His. The title deed belonged to Him because He died for it. And then the next reason why is because He has all power and authority to do so. He already won over Satan and death. He had already won over Satan and death, and no man was able to take that away from Him. Think about it, folks. Is it such a hard thing for man to comprehend the fact that we, as God's creation, should worship Him without delay? Without any hesitation, we as God's people should be able to rear up our heads and our hands with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Why? Because in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. Listen, God the Father is here giving the title deed of earth to His precious Son. The one who was able, because He had earned the right to take the scroll. As I spoke just a moment ago, He had earned the right by being its creator. He earned the right by redemptive power. And He had earned the right by the power's sake. What an amazing thought. Notice what the Scripture says in verse 5 of Revelation 5. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, for behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. The Lion of the tribe of Judah speaks of power and authority, does it not? It speaks to power and authority, but as John turned, what did he see? He saw, as I said this morning, a little lamb. He saw that lamb that had been slain. He saw that lamb, and again, that lamb in the Hebrew tongue is noted as the little lamb. It's noted as the family lamb. The family, when they would cut that little lamb out of the group of lambs, they would bring it in the house with them, and they would love on that thing, and they would nurture that thing, and they would care for it up until the day that it was to be offered as a sacrifice. There. In the middle of everything, just like I said this morning, and it's the way it is in the house of God too, right in the middle of our services, right in the middle of the house of God, right when we're supposed to be worshiping with our hearts and our joys, our hearts overjoyed, there stands the Son of God. Right in the midst of us, and nobody knows it, and
some people don't care about it. Some people are so bored to death with church, they can't stand themselves. And folks, I'll tell you, it's a crying shame when man cannot come to the house of God and worship with his joy just bubbling over. Look at what He's done for us. The Lamb that had been slain, the Lamb that had been crucified for us, He stands up and says, I'll take the charge. I'll do it on their behalf. And down here we can't even worship Him. Down here we find it a drudgery to come to the house of God for an hour or two every other few days. We spend about 3 hours a week in the house of God, and some people find it to be a chore to come to the house of God to worship Him, and yet He has done everything for us. The line of the tribe of Judah again speaks to power and authority. But as John turned to witness this one who was about to be handed this book, this scroll, guess what he saw right in the midst of all that was going on? Did he see this militant Messiah king? No, he didn't. He saw the Lamb, amen, as it had been slain. You see, when Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem, what were they looking for? They weren't looking for a Savior, folks. They were not looking for a Savior. They was looking for a king to take them out of the Roman rule. Just do away with them. That's what they were looking for. A militant king. And of course, like I said, the line of the tribe of Judah speaks to power and authority. But when John turned around after he wiped his eyes clean and the elder said, listen, don't weep. The line of the tribe of Judah is going to do it. John turned around and he saw a lamb as it had been slain. Can you just imagine that scene? As John looked, the Bible said as Jesus hung on the cross of Calvary, his visage was so marred more than any man. He couldn't even tell he was a man. He'd been beaten so severely. And yet that's the man that was worthy to take the scroll. Amen, that's the man, all right. He's the God-man, and He's able to do so. Now, I want your eyes to focus upon Him for just a moment. I want your eyes to look upon this one. Because Daniel tells us in chapter 7, if you'll go back for just a moment. Daniel in chapter 7. Notice what it says here. Verse 13 and 14. The Bible says here, and I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him. Can you just imagine the scene right now? As that great crowd of people, no doubt, began to make way. As the Son of God began to come through. No doubt John the Baptist and Peter and all them men began to push everybody aside. Get out of the way. Here comes the Messiah. Get out of the way. Here comes the one who's going to take the book. We can't do it. He can. Oh, my friend, tonight. What a vision we see here. The Bible says, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and the kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. He had been there all along. Amen. He was right there all along. As the angel voiced that boisterous voice again, he said, who is worthy? And then the lion of the tribe of Judah says, I'll do it. Right in the thick of it, right in the middle of all the festivities, there stood the Lamb. How often have we overlooked the Lamb in our lives? How often have we overlooked the Lamb right here in our house of God in our worship time? So-called men of salvation, and they feel that it's a chore to be worshiping God. Wow, this has gone on long enough. He's already been going for 40 minutes. You know what we're going to do in all eternity? We're going to worship God. Amen. For all eternity, it's going to be a joyous time. And if you've got a problem with it here, oh, you're in big trouble there. Listen, we're going to gather around the throne and we're going to see Him as He comes forth. There stood a Lamb. And as I said, how often have we overlooked the Lamb right here in our own house of God? How often do the lost overlook the Lamb? Right before their very eyes, as Romans 10:8 says, the Word is nigh thee, child. It's nigh thee, even in thy ears. But yet, men today, they refuse to hear and see the glorious gospel, don't they? And He's right here in the midst of us. The Savior's right here tonight. But men still refuse Him. Men, women, boys and girls who reject Jesus Christ still refuse Him. And He's right here in the middle of us. Right here in the midst of us. You know what He's doing? He's walking up and down these aisles looking into our hearts and minds. What's He viewed in yours tonight? What has He viewed in your heart tonight as you've sat here under the hearing of this Word and I've tried my dead level best to get you to see the very throne of God and the very throng of people who are there to worship Him, and as that angel cries out one more time, who is worthy? Who is worthy? Our hearts have to melt within us, don't they? Our hearts have to melt within us. Because as we weep, as we stand there just like John did and we begin to weep, one of those old church members stood up and said, hey, don't weep. There's somebody going to take care of this for us. He's the only one that's powerful enough to do that. God's Word tells us all about that, does it not? The Bible says, let me find it here, in verse 6, the Bible speaks about this Lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns. You know what that speaks of? It speaks to His omnipotence, His power and authority. When the Bible speaks about the fact that He has seven eyes, it speaks to His omniscience. His knowledge and His view of everything. That's what it speaks to. Ain't nothing misses God, buddy. We may fake man out, but let me tell you this, you'll not fake God out. You may fake out your husband or your wife, but you'll not fake God out. You may fake out your mommy and daddy, but listen, you won't fake out God. God's all-seeing eyes already viewed our hearts. This one with seven horns and seven eyes is all-powerful and all-knowing. That's what it speaks to. Christ steps into the spotlight. He at once is recognized and His right is instantly owned. Now as you look through the rest of this chapter, you'll notice something about John. John before never saw Him, did he? He was looking out over that great crowd of people and he never saw anybody that was worthy, and he cried. But now that he's been pointed out, four more times through the Word of God, through the end of this chapter, John mentions the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God has come. The Lamb of God is going to take care of it. He's going to take the book.
In verse 6, 8, 12, and 13 of Revelation 5, you see that. But now listen, we're going to move along now to our last point here. Thirdly now, praise and worship breaks forth for the second time in heaven. As we have all gathered around the throne of God. As the elders and the angels and the thousands upon thousands times tens, thousands and thousands. We all began a great worship hour. You know it? Worship is at once given to Jesus Christ. He's at the very center of everything that's going on. We see it in verse 13. The Bible says, "And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that is are in them." And I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." In other words, let it be so. That's what amen is. Let it be so. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. At the very center of His creation, He is praised and worshipped by everything and everybody. Revelation 5:13 proves to us that there will be no atheist who will give a dissenting voice at that time. "For every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Lord God Almighty, Jesus is all in all." The angels, the fallen angels, they're going to give homage to the great I Am. Those that are reserved in chains of darkness are going to recognize that Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. The demon hordes of all the earth, they are none of them going to stand and say, "I won't praise Him." Listen, you will offer praise unto the Lord. There's not one evil person. Satan himself is going to have to say He is the Lord. Folks, I'm telling you. As we look at this book, I think I started to tell you a while ago about the title deed. Usually, in the Hebrew time, there was, depending upon the importance of the deed that was being laid out, depending on the seals that were on it. A regular deed would usually have three witnesses. They would fold it, and that witness would put his seal on it. They would fold it, and that witness would sign and put his seal on it. And they would fold it a third time, and the third witness would seal it. That would be the final seal. But depending upon the importance, there were that many more seals added. Seven seals is on this book. The importance of the title deed of earth is vast, immensely important, my friend. And we're going to see that from chapter 6 on, when these seals begin to be opened up, you'll understand why that God's people are not going to be down here upon the earth. Number one, the Holy Spirit is gone. When the Holy Spirit is gone, that should be signed, sealed, and delivered, whatever you want to call it. I don't know how you say that, but I messed it up, I know. But anyway, that should stop all questions, shouldn't it? You know, all these questions about, well, when do you think we're going to go be raptured out? Well, folks, when the Holy Spirit is gone, we're going to be gone. He lives within us. And we're not going to be without Him. So, you know, there in the book of Thessalonians where He says, you know, He's only, you know, going to be here until He that led up is taken away. That's when we're gone, folks. That's when the redeemed are taken up to heaven. And then all chaos is going to begin to unfold. Now listen. These people that tell you that they're going to go through 3.5 years of the tribulation, listen, God bless them, pray for them. They're going to be right there with us. They're not going to be left behind. If they're saved, they're going up with us. So listen, don't get all tore up about that. They want to believe that, let them believe that. Listen, I'll tell you the truth of what God's Word says, that when we're going out, when the Holy Spirit takes us out. And when the Holy Spirit takes us off the scene, and then the man of sin be revealed, that's when everything begins to go chaotic upon this earth. You think it's bad right now? Folks, the Holy Spirit's still here. Praise God for that. Amen. He who now letteth is still here. But there's coming a time when He's going to be taken away and we're going up with Him. And that's when the seals begin to be broken. One at a time. We'll see that as we begin chapter 6 next week. We'll see those seals begin to be taken up one at a time. My buddy, I'm telling you. Pity be the man. Pity be the woman. Pity be anyone who's of an age of accountability who's left behind. May God help us tonight to grasp a hold of that. Listen, as we have come here tonight, we have seen this. Listen. I said there will be no atheist dissenting at the call of praise during that day. One and all will at long last acknowledge His power and authority. But here's the irony of the situation. There is coming a time when all creation will give praise in recognition of Jesus Christ as Lord of the universe. I spoke a moment ago that the fallen angels are going to give reverence unto Him. Those reserved even now in chains of darkness, the hordes of demons, Satan himself, and all Christ's rejectors, they all shall acknowledge Him as Lord. Yes, all His rejectors still have to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord indeed, and they will bow the knee before Him. I close with this one verse of Scripture found in the book of Philippians in chapter 2, beginning at verse 9. The Bible says, "Wherefore God hath highly exalted Him, given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in the earth, of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." Folks, tonight, I don't know if you took time to go to the throne of God with me. I hope you did. Because if you went to the throne of God with me tonight, you saw that great crowd of people as they stood. And every one of them had to drop their head as the cry went forth, "Who is worthy?" John began to cry. No doubt he wasn't the only one. But as John began to cry, one of the elders said, "Listen, don't weep. Weep not. There's one coming. There's one that just stood up in the midst of all of us, and there he is. He's the Lamb of God, as he had been slain. Right in the midst of us. Right in the middle of our church service tonight. Guess who's been here? God in the Spirit. He's been here. The angels of heaven have stood around here tonight. And they've inquired into this. The angels of heaven, they've viewed us tonight. Has God viewed your heart this evening, and what has He found? Are you saved? Are you ready? Listen, all will bow the knee before Almighty one day. There's not one living creature upon this earth that will not. But if you wait till that time to do it, it's too late to be saved from a wrath of God to come. When these seven seals begin to be unbroken, begin to be broken for you, you're going to see the reason why you should have trusted the Lord as your Savior. May God help us just to is our prayer. Let's all stand, please. Our most gracious and divine Heavenly Father, dear God, tonight as we bow in Your presence, Lord, You know my heart. You have viewed my thoughts afar off. You have witnessed my intentions this very evening. And I pray, dear God, that Your name has been lifted up. And Father, I pray that our minds have been taken to visit around the throne at that time, when Thy Son, the very Lamb of God, takes the seals, takes the book. Lord, I pray that You'll cause us to be joyful. Father, we pray for the lost around us, that they may see their need even now to come and trust in Thee as Savior. Lord, bless tonight. Save souls and save lives, and forgive us our sin in Christ's name. Amen. Have our song leader and our pianist to come.